There's a thread connecting the war in Ukraine to what's happening in the Persian Gulf, and it's this. When major powers decide that the rules governing the use of force are negotiable, everyone starts revising their calculations. What President Trump said at a rally in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, on Friday is worth examining very carefully, because the words American territory applied to the Strait of Hormuz are not just rhetoric. They are a legal claim with potential military consequences.
Let me set the geography for listeners who need it. The Strait of Hormuz is the narrow waterway between Iran and the Oman Peninsula, connecting the Persian Gulf to the Gulf of Oman and the broader Indian Ocean. Approximately 20% of global oil supply passes through it, somewhere around 17 to 18 million barrels per day at current shipping volumes. It's not American territory. It is international waters under the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea, with Iran and Oman holding sovereignty over the territorial waters on either side. The navigational channel itself falls under transit passage rights, which no single nation controls.
And yet Trump said it. The White House has not walked the statement back, at least not as of this morning. The U.S. naval blockade of the region is now in its fifth month. That's a significant duration. What began as a maximum pressure posture following Iran's acceleration of its uranium enrichment program has become a sustained military operation that's already raising global shipping insurance costs and contributing to oil price volatility that's feeding into inflation numbers in Europe and Asia.
The military as the ultimate intervention line that Trump threw out after denying he'd ordered the bond buyback expansion. We'll get to that in the business segment. That line landed very differently when parsed against the Hormuz statement. The White House is now doing a two-step, where Treasury Secretary Bessent is presented as acting independently on economic tools, while Trump is signaling that he personally controls the military escalation option. That's a deliberate division of responsibility that allows each option to be denied or claimed depending on the political moment.
Iran's response has been measured but firm. Tehran has consistently threatened to close the strait in the past, and the actual operational capacity to do so through mines, fast attack craft, and shore-based anti-ship missiles is real. Iran cannot hold the strait closed indefinitely against U.S. naval power, but they can create weeks or months of chaos that would send oil prices through the ceiling. The question is whether Trump's rhetoric is moving them toward that threshold or whether Iranian leadership is calculating that the blockade itself is more damaging to American relationships with allies than to Iran directly.
Because here's the thing. Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and Qatar, the Gulf states that have historically aligned with U.S. security interests, are watching this blockade very nervously. Their sovereign wealth funds and their development plans depend on oil revenue flowing freely. A prolonged U.S.-Iran standoff that disrupts Gulf shipping doesn't just hurt Iran. It disrupts the entire region's economic planning. I've spoken with analysts in the region who describe a quiet but growing frustration in Riyadh and Abu Dhabi, with the lack of diplomatic off-ramp being offered to Tehran.
And the new sanctions promised at the South Carolina rally, those are targeting Iranian crude oil buyers, primarily in Asia. China has been purchasing Iranian oil at a discount under sanctions throughout this period, and expanding secondary sanctions on Chinese buyers is a significant escalation that Beijing will respond to in ways that extend well beyond the Gulf. This is a conflict with a very large blast radius if it continues on its current trajectory.
Pope Leo XIV's comment in San Marino is worth mentioning here too, because while his praise of the microstate as a laboratory of good politics sounds like a pleasant diplomatic courtesy, the subtext is a papal call for political systems that resolve disputes through law and dialogue rather than coercion. The Vatican has been one of the quiet diplomatic back channels in the U.S.-Iran standoff, not openly, but the Holy See has relationships with Tehran that Washington doesn't. Whether that yields anything in the coming weeks is genuinely unclear, but Leo XIV has shown a more activist diplomatic instinct than his predecessors.